question under statement one. So I'll be talking around that one separately.
Okay. With regard to how we're going to take into account the issues that you raised, obviously the bulk of the issues that you raised will be contained in our annual report. But I am going to initiate with regard to licensing and reallocation of water, the implementation of the pricing strategy and the waste discharge charge system, which will be implemented with effect from 2018 to 2019. What is it that is doing around the protection of water resources? What are we doing with regard to the institutions that support the minister, that is the water board, the CMEs and the Water User Association? And lastly, what are we doing with the information that we have at the department? And of course, the use of the National Information Management Act to ensure that there is participation and transparency in the work that we do as a department. And I think this is the issue that was raised here by a number of members as to on the issue of integration and the issue of making sure that we involve stakeholders. So I'll be talking around those issues. And really building on the issues that Kaneka also spoke about today, on water resource management, I think we came a little bit late as a department on issues of really making sure that we bring in all stakeholders on board on water resource management. Chair, with regard to what is it that we're doing around the question of water resource management, the first thing that we are doing, and I'm aware that the slides are very much suggested, what I'm going to do, Chair, is to summarize some of the issues there so that I don't have to go through all the slides. But let me highlight here to say that within the department we have two directorates known as water resource classification or water resource directed measures, which really look at the classification of water quality within the rivers, underground water throughout the entire country. So what they do is they've actually started with the process of actually classifying the state of rivers throughout the entire country. What that does is that it will give you the level of the river in each and every country, where in each and every catchment, whether that river is, for instance, under class 1, class 2, or class 3. Class 1 will be really the lower state at which the river could be considered to be in a viable state wherein aquatic animals, like the animals that live in the river, can find that water comfortable to live in. So we are busy with all those classifications, and they've actually started in management throughout the entire country, so that I'm sure by the next time when we report to Parliament, we should be able to report on the classification of some of the rivers where we have prioritized to look at and give you a fully objective report on where we stand with regard to those particular rivers. So that process has been started, it's actually moving, and it will actually give everyone an account of the classification process that has been put in place. It will also give you an indication of the regulations that we're going to implement in order to make sure that we reverse the process if the river has deteriorated. In other words, ensure that the river goes back to the class which we are comfortable with regard to the water source within that particular river. The second thing that it will do is to give us a determination on the reserve, meaning that it will give us an indication on what is yet happening around the reserve. The reserve really is the quality, the amount of water that is available within a particular riverine system. It will be able to give us an indication of how much water will be available within that particular river. I'm sure you are aware, Chair, that a number of rivers in the country, their flow has actually been deteriorating as time goes on due to either sediment upstream, etc., etc. So it will give you that particular indication. And we'll also be able to give you an indication as to what is it that we're going to do as a department to make sure that the river picks up its flow within that particular section.
The next thing will be the resource quality objective, which wherein we really look at what is it that needs to be done in order to ensure that a particular river or a particular other ground system gives an assurance of quality discharge on any given time. So the report will really, I mean, we will have tools and procedures to develop the resource quality objectives for each and every river, and we expect to complete that process, Chair, by 2008-2009, but we'll give you quarterly reports as to where we are with regard to resource quality measures within a particular river. The second instrument, Chair, is around ensuring that we streamline the quality of water within rivers is what we call water use authorization. And there are processes and procedures that we're actually putting in place. The first one is obviously a top management within DWARF. As you know, we've got head office, we've got regional offices. We have actually now, or we are in the process of making sure that a top management, we actually speak with one voice with regard to water use authorization, which has never been the case before, and we've started that particular process. The second thing, Chair, is putting together what we call a tracker system, which will actually track the authorization throughout the country, but the priority will be given, for instance, to areas that are actually experiencing a deficiency. In our way, wherein the demand, the supply is exceeded by the demand that can be made available within the water source system. The third area is a mechanism to handle backlog at national and regional offices. This is in relation to the licenses wherein people have applied for water use authorization. So we are actually, we've put a system that will look at handling the backlog. And we also want to make the system much more user-friendly, consistent, so that people don't have to struggle to find out where their license application is. We should be able to track that system and be able to tell people that it's sitting either at regional office or at head office and indicate the status of that particular license application. The other thing here is around capacity building and training. Obviously, we need to ensure that we build the capacity of all the water users, particularly the HDIs with regard to water use authorization, so that they understand their role as well as the benefits that will arise after the water use authorization has been finalized by the department. And of course, the time frame, I'm not going to talk about the external and client guidelines, which are the documents that we've produced in order to make sure that we inform all stakeholders accordingly around water use authorization. The time frame, Chair, is the end of March 2007. Obviously, when we come to give you feedback again, we should be able to tell you where we are with water use authorization, and particularly on issues of HDI, where the HDIs are saying we're not seeing any progress with regard to water being made available to the HDI. The next issue is around the use of water. In other words, the source control, which is where we'll now talk about water quality issues around pollution. In other words, what is it that we are doing as a department to minimize pollution, to ensure that we control waste, the dumping of waste into the riverine system, as well as underground water. So I will be talking about what we are doing with water quality objectives and an integrated approach between ourselves and the structures that we are setting up as a department, as well as local government, as Chandeka actually said earlier on. And I'll also talk to the polluter pays principle, which is actually contained in the waste discharge charge system, which I said will actually be implemented in 2008-2009. We're finalizing that one. It's not an easy thing. We have to consult with all stakeholders, and there are quite a lot of objections or inputs that are coming from some big water users saying, what are we going to do to make sure that we do not suffer with regard to the quality of water that we get from the rivers, that we get from the dams, the issues that the members have been raising.
And the other issue is the second issue, which I am going to be touching on. Around the framework for source control, Chair, obviously there are regulations that are being developed with regards to ensuring that there is consistency around the implementation of things like polluter pays principle, for instance. Regulations around general authorization, which we actually noticed of late that when you, in our words, we thought as a department that the National Water Act will be able to ensure that there is a very easy process on around general authorization. But you realize that, I mean, if you allow people to interpret the law, it doesn't work. So what we need to do, we need to implement, in our words, we need to develop regulations around general authorization so that the regulation can determine the way in which you authorize the way in which water gets allocated. If I may give an example, Chair, for the sake of committee members. For instance, there was an assumption that says, in order to ensure that we take water in a lawful way from those that have got over allocation to the HDI, the general authorization would enable us to do that. But we realize that people are not going to give easily to water that they have without a regulation. In our ways, we want to have a regulation so that we can then take water legally from those that have been over allocated so that it can be allocated to the HDI who do not have water. I'm not so sure whether I'm explaining myself quite clearly on that one. It's part of the revision of the National Water Act, which will be coming to Parliament. We are looking at it sometime April, May. That's the time when that the revision of the National Water Act will come to Parliament. And it will contain that regulation because, as I'm saying to you, without that regulation, we thought that people will understand that they need to redistribute, but we are realizing that it doesn't work. So you need a regulation in order to enforce the redistribution. I'm trying to clear that particular point because I'm explaining that particular point. Thank you. Okay. On water use authorization, obviously the license conditions, the monitoring, the compliance and enforcement, again, we thought that the National Water Act will take care of that. Again, it was too liberal. In its liberal nature, people again will hoard whatever they have. So they won't easily give out so that we can redistribute to those that do not have. Again, we need a regulation, and it's part of the revision of the National Water Act, wherein we are now going to tighten up the screws so that people don't have freedom to say, we think we can give up what we have, or we don't think we can part with what we don't have. So the problem has been the law has been too liberal, and we expected that people would be reasonable and give up whatever they have so that we can redistribute, but it doesn't work that way. Mm-hmm. That's what we're beginning to realize, and that's why we're seeing a regulation will actually enable us to really begin to enforce, because that's the only way you can go in order to change the current status quo. On the issue of market-based instruments on waste discharge system, the polluter pays principle, again, we need to develop a regulation with regard to that. And it is here where, in, for instance, the polluter. And as Kandeka has said, the polluters are not only local government. There are also people in agriculture who are farming who also contribute to the pollution of the water system. And again, a regulation will cover for that so that we can name every polluter. It doesn't matter whether it's local government, it doesn't matter whether it's an irrigator, it's an irrigator. All of that will be contained in the regulations that we are actually developing. And the last one on the self-regulatory instruments, the ISO certification, that's part of the waste discharge system, which we are going to talk about. This is the one in relation to drinking water, which we are actually developing as well, so that the standard of water come 2010 is of such a nature that you don't only need to drink water only when you're in Cape Town or in Joburg or in Devon, but wherever you are, when you open up a tap, you should be confident that the water will be actually that you won't be afraid to drink water from that particular tap. Of course, there are challenges here with regard to source control, and that covers things like authorization processes. It covers things like monitoring, compliance, and enforcement.
but I'm going to talk about them in the coming slide. Maybe I need to go to those, it will be the next slide that I'm going to talk about. The other area is around our international obligations. In our words, what is it that we do as a department to make sure that on the riverine systems that are shared with neighboring countries, we comply with the protocol agreements that have been agreed upon, for instance, the SADC protocol agreement on shared water crossing. We are happy to report here that quite a lot of progress has been made with regard to ensuring that we begin to have those protocols agreed with neighboring countries. The first one that the committee members are quite aware of is around the Nkomati River Basin, which we have actually agreed with Mozambique and Swaziland on how that river course is going to be shared among the three countries. And last year when we launched the Nkomati CMA, we had the Minister of Water Affairs from Mozambique who actually came to the launch, and he was actually quite happy with that protocol agreement that is beginning to take course. It's actually beginning to ensure that the utilization of water is streamlined between the three countries so that you don't have water shortages in one country while due to the lack of compliance in another country. There is three other protocols that have actually been signed in during the course of last year. The first one, the second one is the Oranjecom one, which is an agreement between Namibia, Botswana, and South Africa. The next one is the Limcom one, which we signed. We didn't include it in the slide, but they've been signed. And the countries that are sharing those riverine systems are actually now beginning to put mechanisms in which the water will be shared between the various countries. With regard to the second recommendation, Chair, on the monitoring system, I am going to be talking around the monitoring and assessment and information on what we are doing. And again, it covers things like water quality. There are quite a lot of systems that are there within the department, although the majority of those systems have actually not been utilized and tested to ensure that they can give us set time information with regard to the quality of water resources in a whole lot of rivers, in a whole lot of underground systems that we spoke about here this morning. But those systems are there, we are retesting them so that we can be able to get first time information as and when we need that information throughout the entire country. And I don't need to list all of them, Chair, if you don't mind. I mean, there are quite a lot of them, systems that we have. But I think the most important thing for committee members is to note the fact that we are retesting a lot of those systems so that they can give us quality information. As part of the second recommendation is the issue of dam safety, which has been an issue which the committee raised actually way back in 2005 and 2006. And to give assurance to the committee here, we have actually put in motion a mechanism that will enable us to be able to say we are confident that even if it rains so hard, the dam will not give up and cause damage to the people downstream. So the recommendations of the committee have been taken into account. And obviously, it is a long-term process, Chair, I must highlight, because we have done the testing of a lot of, I mean, when you look at density, you look at a whole lot of things. You look at the things like the strength of the dam wall. You look at the area particularly where the water is released from the dam when it's full. So we are actually busy with all those processes so that ultimately we are in a better position to say we have now done the investigation, we have done the testing, and what corrective measures need to be taken into account in order to either strengthen the structure of the dam or the structure of the release system in the actual course of the river. The third recommendation that was actually put by the committee was around evaluating the components of the new framework called the Strategic Framework for National Water Resource Quality Monitoring Program, which was publicized. And the issue is, what is it that is important to ensure that the framework is actually developed and also implemented. So with regard to that one, obviously the framework has been developed now, and it does look into what is it that needs to be done around resource quality monitoring programs. It was approved by the Water Resource Functional Management Committee, and what is left now, Chair, is to ensure that it gets implemented. But we can't just implement it willy-nilly. What we need to do is to mobilize the stakeholders, which is part of the requirement of the committee members here, and I think it's part of the obligation of government to ensure that we mobilize stakeholders to understand what it is that we're talking about. So the next level, obviously, after the approval, is that we need to mobilize and galvanize all stakeholders so that they can buy into the process. But we will be giving you feedback with regard to how far have we gone in the next meeting on stakeholder mobilization and begin to implement the strategy. So we will give you feedback, Chairperson, with regard to that. The fourth recommendation was around tracking progress in terms of the establishment of a governance institution to coordinate and share resources, infrastructure, data, and information across water management institutions and other role players. And I'm glad to say here, Chairperson, that, and by the way, this is now in relation to drinking water quality. Let me emphasize that point. It's in relation to drinking water quality. I'm glad to say that the DG actually established a committee at the beginning of last year, and that committee really comprised of ourselves as the department, and it will also comprise the CMA, and I think I need to add here to say it will also include the broader stakeholders on how we are going to be looking at issues of water quality and ensuring that we implement the requirements of the National Water Act with regard to water quality. Recommendation number 7 is around the acceptance of water user responsibility on the issuing of licenses. Okay, maybe on that one, I think I've covered on it today. There are quite a number of processes that have been put in place to ensure that we no longer talk about the issue of only issuing licenses, but we are able to track and inform the market as to where their license is in the whole chain event within the Department of Water and Forestry. Obviously, that's the first thing. The second one is around the catchment management agencies, which will play a much more bigger role as and when they get established in the water use license, in the water quality management within the country. And that particular slide, Chair, really gives you a progress on where we are with regard to the establishment of the water management institution. And let me have time to say here that I think what we should have done, and there are issues that were actually raised, for instance, around crocodile with regard to the 100 years for death. There are issues of AGI in some of the first catchments. We have actually launched applications with the department for quite a long time. Comadi is a case in point wherein we have not really done much. But what I wanted to say here is we should have actually prioritized the establishment of CMAs around issues like whether the catchment is threatened and wherein there is a very great need for immediate redistribution of water amongst the water users, particularly the HDI. But nevertheless, having said that, we have actually made quite a lot of progress in the establishment process of CMA, and we are also making sure that in the establishment process, there is greater stakeholder involvement, and Tandeka did indicate that we are now actually at the department begin to realize that without the involvement of local government, it becomes very difficult to mobilize all stakeholders. And we had a very fruitful meeting 2 weeks ago in the Western Cape wherein we met with local government around not only water safety matters but water resource management issues so that we can begin to
get local government to buy into the processes that were engaging in SSD. And it's amazing how that interaction with local government is beginning to bring in positive results, in the sense that those local governments are saying they need to work together with the department and they need support or capacitation from the department. And we are busy with a program to ensure that they are capacitated accordingly. So, yeah, it's not only on water safety but water resource management. So this is basically the process of CMA services, wherein we already know that Nkomati has got a governing board. We are now looking at the delegation of functions. We're not going to delegate everything to CMA. It will be on a progressive basis, meaning that we look at the capacity that is there in the CMA, and then we're going to then devolve functions as and when the capacity develops. With regard to Briede, Crockwell, and Mvoti, the appointment of the governing board will be finalized by the end of March. And the most interesting part is that in the process of appointing the governing board, there is greater involvement of all the water users. And it's not only the irrigators, but also the AGI, women groupings, youth groupings, so that when we talk water resource management, we're not only talking of the big water users, but we're talking of every water user in the country beginning to take an interest in the way in which water as a resource is managed. And we believe that if we do that, we'll be able to address issues of pollution, etc., etc. The Usutu Tutela Oliphant Joran, we are at an advisory stage wherein we are appointing advisory committees, and we will be having roadshows wherein we popularize the processes so that the stakeholders can begin to take a keen interest in the things that we are doing. Oh, then that's the advisory committee, We then come to the most interesting part, which gives not only the portfolio committee grey hair, it gives the minister, it gives the various functionaries within the department a part of the grey hair, and we were talking about it yesterday when we were briefing the minister on what we need to do with regard to this animal called Water User Association. And we have noted that in the past, when we bring in this water user association, normally it will be all male affair, wherein they come to brief you, and in any case, they ask questions, what are we to do with parliament? But what we are doing there, Chairperson, maybe let me talk about the statistics and tell you what it is that we're doing to bring water users under the ambit of the department, because it has been a worry that they are out there without being policed accordingly, without a clear oversight by the department on those institutions that we have actually established. But maybe let me talk about the numbers and talk about what we are doing to begin to play a much more better oversight on these institutions. The numbers, there they are. We haven't really finalized the process. In terms of the Act, we should have actually transformed all irrigation boards into water use associations. We are actually still remaining with plus minus 170 of those irrigation boards that need to be transferred into water user association, so which means that the challenge is still very much higher. Nevertheless, let me talk around what is it that we think we need to do in order to bring these institutions under the ambit of the department. And it's not really part of the slide, but what we are doing, the first thing that we are actually doing now is to amend the National Water Act, particularly that Chapter 8 of the National Water Act, which gives rise to the establishment and or transformation of irrigation boards into water user associations, or the establishment of new ones into formalized water user associations. What we do is we are reviewing the Act so that we give a clear line of responsibility and command with regard to how water user associations will report not only to the minister but to the CMA, which they are actually accountable to, which was not the case in the current Act. So that particular Act does take into account that particular fact. The second one, it was a voluntary I mean, today what I use a member, you had, it was a very voluntary matter altogether. We are saying it cannot work to make people to volunteer to be members of a water user association, because you'll find a very big water user association in a particular catchment refusing to be a member of the water user association. What does that do? It means that particular water user is not bound by the rules and regulations that apply to all the water users. So what we are doing is we want to make it compulsory for each water user to be a member of the water user association. The third area is around the transformation in the big government water scheme. What we are doing in the Act is that we want to actually compel, it will no longer be the prerogative of water users to send a proposal to the minister. In other words, the transformation in those water user associations will now be the prerogative of the department in order to make sure that we really hold the process and we determine how it is going to be run. So I think I've actually addressed what we are going to be doing in the National Water Act and what we are going to be doing in order to really begin to bring order in the way in which water user associations have been governed so far. The second last area, Chair, is in regard to, I've really talked around water quality objectives. This is the drinking water quality, what we're doing as a department. But maybe let me move on to the issues around water bonds, which I'm sure the committee members will be quite interested in. I've actually skipped the drinking water quality, which I said the other committees that we've actually put in place with regard to ensuring that the quality of water that we are going to be dispensing, or that municipalities are going to be dispensing, will be of such a nature that it will bring about confidence in those that are utilizing water throughout the entire country, not only in the big cities. Let me move on to the very last one, Chair, which is what is it that we're doing around the oversight on institutions, particularly the water board. The way questions that were raised by the portfolio committee around what is it that is being done with the water board. Obviously, the one area, Chair, is around the oversight that we pay with this institution. The part and other mechanism that we've actually put in place to ensure that water boards operate within the ambit, not only of the Department of Water Affairs, but within the ambit of government legislation in totality. The first mechanism is around the annual report and the development of business plans, which are actually submitted in a format that is actually prescribed by the department. And we have actually taken into account, Chair, the recommendations of the portfolio committee. So we are in the process of reviewing those guidelines, and in the review process, we take into account the strengthening of the oversight mechanism in the business plan and the annual report that was developed. The second area is around the monitoring of performance of water boards and issues of cooperative governance, operations, and financial viability. Without elaborating on the issue, Chair, there are mechanisms that were actually put in place, and I can quickly report here to the committee that there have been quite a lot of successes last year, particularly with those boards wherein there was no, where governance was actually weak, where systems were actually poor. And just to mention to you that we actually lost 3 CEOs who were either actually fired or resigned on their own accord after realizing that they failed to put in proper systems that will enable the water board to account properly to the minister. And obviously, through the annual report process, the policy statements, the business plans, and the quarterly reports, we are strengthening our oversight role on water board so that they can do things in accordance with applicable legislation of the department. And the second last thing, Chair, is around
the disestablishment of some of the non-viable water boards. The two ones that we are going to be disestablishing with immediate effect is the Kangala and Bushbuck Bridgewater. But we are also conducting studies on a number of other water boards that are not really viable, and we'll only be able to tell you what action we are going to take once those studies have been completed as to what is it that we are going to be doing. And yeah, obviously the annual reports will be tabled in Parliament. The minister should be able to sign them off sometime in August, September, for tabling in Parliament in November and December of this year. I've really spoken on the financial viability of some of the water boards. Very briefly, Chair, on the institutional reform. We actually met yesterday with the minister to talk about what the implications of the institutional reform is. Obviously, the institutional reform will have a huge impact on the bulk of the majority of the water boards that are not viable, that are only serving, for instance, only one municipality. The intention is to come up with what we call regional water utilities. In other words, water boards that will serve not only one municipality, but quite a number of municipalities within a particular province, so that we can begin to maximize the benefits of economies of scale within a particular area, so that even the poor areas or poor municipalities can reap the benefits of the economies of scale. On the issue of non-compliance on the PFMA, I think I've alluded to the actions that we've actually taken on a number of water boards. Doom Water is one case in point, Bushbuck Bridgewater is another one, Mutelo Water, and Liphele Northern Water, and Overberg Water. And as I said to you, some COOs either abandoned ship after realizing that they are going to be found guilty, and wherein we've discovered that there is misappropriation of funds, we are actually taking legal steps to ensure that the monies are recovered from the people that have misused the funds, so which is actually a step in the right direction. Okay, after a long story, I think we have come to the end of the presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for that presentation. I have a few in the limited time that we have to interrogate this one, but obviously going to I want to ask the staff on the CMA, the water board, and the other things we're doing. We are going to have them before us, and some of that stuff I think we should just put into when we come and bring the annual report to us. We, I think we note what you are saying, but I think we'll respond to them when we do that. And then on the other one, I also wanted to suggest that Sandeka, what we do is, again, because we, in a couple of weeks' time, we will be having all of you again to do the strategic plan. I think that we must take to this document that you have prepared that sets out your obligations to, in particular, under capital education. Go through it thoroughly and so on and engage with it, because we are having alongside the budget and strategic plan, we are having public hearings alongside that on the bucket for education. So I think let's not engage with it now, let's engage with it then, but the text the document and thank you also for on the water quality stuff, we can do it. Lots of things that you have told us about. The key question is by when. I think we're serious about this thing, about when you put it, because when you made these recommendations, you made it because you thought that there are a number of very good, both legislation, regulation, very good plans and so on in place. But we want to understand the difficulty of implementing. We go to the National Water Resources Strategy, they're there. We go to all the other things, they're there. It's not that one doesn't have them. They're there, they're very good and so on. The public hearing also goes up to a number of other things, and that is a lack of implementation. And so I think what are the difficulties? Because we can see what we're going to do. Hello. Thank you. know they require personnel. You know they require, require people that have experience in the field. And of course, you know, in the provinces and in the municipalities, we need trained people around there. I mean, the element of how we involve the people in making sure that the people themselves are on board with these things and are educated, because the people are at stake. It is the right of the citizens of South Africa to be informed about water quality and to be given, what are the rights. Let's continue to be reminded of the diversity. If only people were informed properly, there is no need for all that noise that we have. Because I like that information and the people's side were not taken into consideration. And I think on water quality, the people's side is too important here. Other than all these structures, you know, what you're going to do and all of these things. Let me just lastly say, I was very shocked about the mining industry. They made an appointment and they came to see. And they reported on what they're doing on this thing. Because they participated in the public hearing. I've asked them to come today. I don't know what happened to it. I've asked them to come today, but I was very intrigued here with one entity that said, no, we're coming to Parliament and we want to make the choice. You did hammer us, and of course, you did tell us about how in a project you did. And they came and they said, this is what they intend to do. And then the chairman has also said that they prepare to offer draft assistance on this regard. Now, I think when you set those things up, we must get back to them, because there's one stakeholder that responded already to Parliament. And it's very good that one stakeholder out of himself, I didn't invite him, out of himself, that came. And they said that they wanted to report on what's happening. And it's important that the mining industry is one of the industries. There are big polluters that are giving us huge problems about water quality and so on. And so I think it's good that the public hearing forced them to take the issue very seriously, and they are acting upon this. And to say they want to leave this job. They want to leave this. And I think this water quality hearing has told us they want leadership. They are, all of them agree that we put a number in this place, but and say they're not looking needed. So I think forget about the money, not forget about the money. We've done very well to bring us these things. I'm sorry that I put it like that. Let's, for a minute, park the people and say, what are the issues that prohibit us from implementing these things? Because I think that's what we are interested in. If there are difficulties, then it means that the committee is interested to say, let's engage the department on human resources. Because that's the a better area to get. Let's engage the department on financial resources, because that's what we can do when we have our budget before you and ask you why are you allocating so much money to this and not to that. So I think take us behind the scene. Take us behind the scene on television or behind the scene with lots of things. That's where we want to see. Honorable members, I didn't want to take all of your time, but I'm sure you would appreciate that that's what we're interested in, and not all these things. Can I ask you to respond, or is anyone else going to engage?
I agree with what you're saying. This is a question about the transformation of the water bodies. I mean, can you imagine you have 279 and 58? Now, what are the needs? I'm getting something that we ought to look at. Why? Where is the blockage? Who is placing impediments?
But the community awareness.
Thank you very much for those remarks. I think they do have quite a lot to help us think forward with regard to issues of incidences, what is already there. And they are equally quite correct to say, I think strategies have been developed. The most important thing is really getting behind the talk and really go and meet with the stakeholders. And I... Let me report here by saying that the African number of action plans that we started to put in place to make sure that we begin to engage with stakeholders, and they are actually very right. This will not happen if the stakeholders are not happy to the process. But what we are doing is actually during Water Week, and Rebecca is doing the idea as to the actions that are being taken from the regional offices. In order to lift up the issue of water quality management to the national agenda, we are actually planning a workshop during Water Week, wherein all stakeholders, that is municipalities, the mines that is actually alluded to, the various agricultural unions, that is Kau, Agri-Fi, NAFU, actually they have been invited and they've confirmed their attendance of that particular workshop, wherein we want to now start rolling out the whole water policy program and the very same strategy that has been developed by the department. So it's all going to happen on the 22nd and 23rd of March during Water Week, wherein the rollout program will be explained to the stakeholders, and then from there we should be able to discuss with you as to what is it that we've done to take the process forward. And I take your comments that, yeah, we need to get people to tomorrow's meeting. But let me ask Andreka to comment before I take the issue of why are we taking so long on water use association, and what is the problem? So I'll talk about it, but Andreka, please.
Chair, maybe just to say, every month we get a report on assessment of drinking water quality and drugs that are coming from the municipality. And even though there's a trend that indicates that there is progress that is being made in that regard, it's just not good enough. Things that we're dealing with and people's lives. So I have asked my colleagues from PNR, and Chair, the questions that you asked PNR and the question next year, and what are the resources to do, and how we call ourselves in the department, is we've also been telling them that we are tired of this information. If they don't translate into action, and if they don't have impact on the ground, then they are good as much. So that's the transformation that my committee will have to go through in the department. That's the mindset that is actually what is needed. We have data. We have so many of those data. So we have asked my colleagues in PNR to review the strategy, and we really have to come hard on this one. First of all, it must be, we need to raise our policy and regulation, which is responsible for the development of strategy and policy. We need to raise our policy. We need to adopt a demand-driven kind of approach. Consumers need to be aware of the importance of drinking water. The quality of water they need to have. But at the same time, it is needed that we have not done enough to get buy-in from the politicians, especially at the local level. We believe that if the mayor, we can tell us in speaking English, because I think our presentation, water resources is very critical, and I think we are struggling with the department to translate it in a language that people will understand. It is so important that we say to my colleagues, water resources is so important. It is much more important than water resources, because if you don't address water resources, you can forget about water resources. But up to now, there are so many people who understand the good work that we are doing as a department. The fact that we have never had crisis, we have never had the economy of housing, crunching, because there's very good water resources management and the operations and everything that goes with it, but we don't talk about it, and we fail to communicate it in a language that raises awareness, but that also says, you know, the department is doing a good thing. Enough of the commission. Part of the strategy will deal with the regions. We are in the process of empowering our regions at the moment. We're building their capacity, and we have identified critical points as well as drinking water quality. Drinking water quality management is one of those things. So we'll be building the capacity in the region, the resources that we use to research and as well as. But
I think, you know, we won't only raise issues with yourselves in this regard. I think what we must do as the portfolio committee, because I think we've been discussing here on the institution, we've been discussing this thing quite a lot. I think we've been having this thing. Why are the two main working with the association? What are the difficulties? And I think maybe what we must do is the portfolio committee by the department from Victoria more than anything else. So you don't see in all the areas people are taking initiatives around that, what proposals can be made to allow that so that we change the trajectory of the entirety. Because it's not going to help to come back to us again and say, you know, we've got the facilities and all of this. What is it that we do to see that we change the landscape in order for these things to happen? And the truth is that things are not working then. How? Let's go. You know, if that's one of the suggestions that we must make, then we must make that. Because how much more money must be spent on things that doesn't work? But if it does work, what do we do? And so I think the portfolio committee is right for the occasion of putting together some little discussion documents on how do we propose to the department an implementation plan around water quality stuff, the infection management agencies, and all of these institutional stuff, and then take the debate from there. Again, we agree, you require the municipality, you require the provinces to give you also a proposal on what they are doing. It doesn't mean nothing is happening. You know, it's not that nothing is happening. There are some stuff happening. How do we accelerate that which is happening and ensure that we have maximum success of what is intended? Because it is important that we do get the things right. South Africa must be standing out in relation to this. When I was in Mexico last year, I saw there are many countries that are struggling for us to be able to go much further than many of them, but I don't think that we've been able to get to. So I think it's those last hurdles that we need to get into. So what do we do to make sure that we reach this end goal that we are struggling to get? How do we do transformation right at the level where it's supposed to happen in this life? And I think that's the difficulty that I think we're passing. I wanted to suggest, members, if you'd like to do an opportunity that maybe that's what we need to do in this regard, and arising also out of the Limpopo and Northwest. Well, this is why I say that we'll ask the mining industry to forward their documentation because they didn't come today. So ask them to forward their documentation so that we can circulate to the members to see what they are themselves also doing. And then I think our difficulty on the Limpopo and the other report is that we need to report back to the different people that we were at. So I think we will have to talk to each other to see how do we compile something that enables us, because we can't go and be oversight and then inquire. I mean, the people that we have to meet, because this is a decision makers that we took at the workshop, that we need to effect going back, reporting back, right to the level where it is. So I think many of these things that have given us, we now need to see how do we devolve it down to where we were, and these communities, these institutions, whoever else, and out of that. And then, of course, where you have not given us sufficient information, I mean, we can't go and say, you've delivered a strategic document, you've treasured, you know. You know, we are elected in branches of the population, it's not like you guys, so we won't take, we won't take those chances of saying you've delivered a strategy document and a policy document, we'll be back in the patient, and we won't do that thing. So, Member Sabriani, would you like to close the meeting? Thank you very much for your participation. If members concerned, all I can say is, Roman Costello.
I just want to make sense out of this. It's the under dam safety. Eh? It says dam that calls a dam safety risk evaluated and authorized. I just want to
make dam hydrants.
In other words, the number of dams that might have been constructed without so what we are doing is we are evaluating all of those. And obviously, if it's not up to standard, we'll need to give the education back to the side, whether it needs to be broken down so that it's not an outcome to what happens.
Do you understand
honorable members, thank you very much. We'll meet you. We'll circulate the minutes that we didn't deal with today. And I think to the concern of the member, which is a very serious concern, the only thing we can say is that the floor is coming. Thank you.
Yeah.